How are we? It's beautiful, isn't it, to be in the presence of the lover who is God Almighty, who comes running to us. It's amazing. It's amazing. This morning I was in the car, and this is my usual. Whenever I come to church, my car is my sanctuary. And because the topic today is awaking your love. So I was telling God, I say, oh God, I'm so sorry if I've not been awoken in my love. I'm so sorry if I've been distracted. And I was just going on having a conversation with a lover that comes running to us each time. And then I saw this beautiful cherry blossom tree in my neighbor's backyard. And the Lord showed me a picture of how you can be awakened in your love, like we can be that cherry blossom tree. And the thing about cherry blossom is it blossoms only once in a year, which is during this time, for maybe about 2 weeks. But the Lord impressed on me is like our divine life in God can be awakened today and now. Wow, it's really amazing. And so I just am confident that the Lord who loves us and come running after us will meet us today and come and awaken our heart to love Him. So let's pray and ask the Lord to bless His word. Father, we thank You so much that You are always at every corner speaking to us. And just as we say things to You, You echo back to us. Just as we confess to You, You forgive us. Just as we speak to You, You answer us. And so this morning we are so blessed to be in this presence, the presence of the living God that is so available to us. We give You thanks for chapter 2 of Song of Songs. We pray that every word, O God, will speak to us. We give You thanks in Jesus' name. Let's read chapter 2, Song of Songs. And in your Bible, probably you have got she. So she would be the beloved, the beloved, the one who is loved by he who is the lover. So let's read verse 1. Verse 1 says, as she says, the beloved says, I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. Then he, the lover, says, like a lily among thorns is my darling among the young women. Then she said, like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my beloved among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. Let him lead me to the banquet hall, and let his banner over me be love. Strengthen me with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I'm faint with love. His left hand is under my head, and his right arm embraces me. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, by the gazelles and by the does of the field, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Listen, my beloved, look, here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattices. My beloved spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. Sounds like now, yeah? The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. Then the lover says, my dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. My beloved is mine and I am his. He browses among the lilies until the day breaks and the shadows flee. Turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or like a young stag on the rugged hills. That's a beautiful portion of scripture, isn't it? Huh? Beautiful. You know, Shakespeare said, and Shakespeare, you know, wrote beautiful poetry, and he said, love is a many splendid thing. And I think here the lover and the beloved is expressing the splendor of their love. And I call this portion of scripture, the first part of chapter 2, I call it a phase where love sizzles. You know, sizzling is when you put food onto your hot pan full of hot oil, sizzles. When you put egg onto your saucepan, the oil sizzles. It sizzles your egg. If you put sausages in there, it sizzles. Yeah. And sizzling is also something like, you know, something that's interesting, something that's exciting, and something that is passionate. So when you say love sizzles, it means that love is interesting, exciting, and passionate. And I see this love between the lover and the beloved sizzling. They were so in love. They looked so good together. They were so sweet together. They were so committed together, so full of assurance, so full of acceptance, so full of affirmation. And the lover and the beloved, as you read chapter 2, they have eyes for one another. Eyes of excitement, of interest, of passion, one for the other. And the lover and the beloved is actually a metaphor of the church and God. So in this chapter, and I believe that Pastor has spoken this last week as well, that it is a metaphor between the church and God. It is a metaphor between God and the believer. So when we read he, it is really God the lover. When you read she, it's actually us, the beloved, the church. And the question is our relationship with God sizzling? Like the relationship between the lover and the beloved. Do we get excited when we come to church? Do we get excited when we read God's word? Do we feel a sense of interest when we speak to Him? Does it interest us to want to know God better? When you see the song, oh, that's a nice picture. When you see the song, I'll come running. Do we come to God running? The first point here is love sizzles. And love sizzles from God's side. When I ask a question, do we come to God running? Before I could even ask a question, I believe in the spiritual realm, God comes to us running first. Because God takes the initiative to love us. God takes the opportunity to want to come and awake our love. That's why if you read the first part of Song of Songs, the beloved said, I am only a rose of Sharon. I'm only a lily of the valley. So if we know rose, I know rose here is very expensive, especially during Valentine's, $10 for a stalk, very expensive. But this rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, which is actually one of those stalks there, the lily of the valley, is a very common flower in Palestine, very, very common. So here, the beloved is saying, or the church is saying, or the believer is saying, I am really nothing. I'm so common. I'm just like a rose of Sharon. But the reason why the beloved was able to own up the fact that she is a common flower is because she trusts the one she is speaking to. Isn't transparency and trust related? You won't want to be so transparent with someone unless you can trust that this person is able to take you for who you are and won't condemn you. Am I correct? You only will say something about yourself only when you trust the other person. So here, the beloved trusts the lover that the lover will not take advantage of her. And so she was transparent, she felt safe, and she said, I am only but a rose of Sharon. But you look what the lover said. Look what God said to the believer, especially when the believer says, God, you know, I've got nothing. I'm so common. I've got nothing very much. I don't even have, you know, this or that or the other. And God says to the beloved, he says, like a lily among thorns is my darling among the young women. So in other words, he's saying, okay, if you are a lily, then you are the best looking lily because you are among thorns. How good is that? If a man tells you, you know, he says, I'm nothing compared to the roses. I'm nothing compared to the beautiful lilies. And this man says to you, but hey, if you are surrounded by thorns, then if you are a lily, you are the best looking lily. That's what God told this beloved. See, God is interested in us. His love sizzles. He's passionate towards us. He singles us out and he takes what is common and he makes it glorious. He calls us his masterpiece. He calls us his poem. He calls us his jewel. He doesn't reject us. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't injure us. In fact, there's one really good verse in Matthew chapter 12, and it says, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench. A reed is actually a cane, and they use a reed or the cane to make musical instruments. And here it says that God will not break already a bruised reed. You see, a bruised reed cannot be made into an instrument anymore. Because you only take a complete, whole, good-looking reed to make a good-looking, whatever, instrument. So if it's a bruised reed, it means that it is not possible to do an instrument out of it, not able to make music. And yet here it says that God will not break a bruised reed. It's already broken. God will not break it further. You see, God is so interested in us. And a smoldering wick, he will not quench. In other words, if it's already going off, the fire that is on the flame is already going off, God will not smother it. God will not quench it. God will not snuff it out. God will let it burn. And the Message Bible tells it so beautifully. It says, God won't walk over anyone's feelings and he won't push you to a corner. That's how the love from God sizzles, right? He takes care of even things, our feelings that we feel that are devaluing ourselves. God says, oh no, your commonness is my opportunity to show off. If you think you are common, if you think you're only a rose of Sharon, I can do something. I can call you the best looking flower because you are among thorns. He knows how to promote us, promote our commonness into his glory if we submit ourselves to him. That's why it's wonderful to read Song of Songs, because you read how his love sizzles, how he is passionate towards us. But you see, unlike men, God does not just talk only. He acts it out as well. He didn't kind of like tell you, oh, my love is sizzling. I'm able to say nice things to you, but I'm not able to act it out. No, he is able to talk. He's also able to act it out. And that's why the beloved says, like an apple tree, he shades us and feeds us with his fruit. You see, it's God's nature to protect us, to shade us and to provide for us, to let us eat his fruit. And he wants to eternally bless those people who have chosen to set their love on him. This is love. This is love from God. He not only just tells you he loves you, he actually shades and protects you. Just yesterday, I have a little bit of experience where I experienced Song of Songs. You see, usually when we preach, we experience the word ourselves. And Henry yesterday said, you know, shall we go to Wollaston? Wollaston is near Les Murdy here. And there is a cherry blossom festival going on. And I said, yeah, that's fine. Let's go. Let's go to Wollaston. It's beautiful this weekend. Today is still open. Next weekend, it's still open. Saturday and Sundays, if you want to go to Wollaston, 35 minutes drive from here, you can go to the Cherry Blossom Festival in Perth. It's like Japan, but it's in Perth, right? And what I really enjoy seeing was, because yesterday was 25 degrees, it was quite hot. And what I really enjoyed seeing was all the people who, not all the people, a lot of the people who came with picnic mats. And they lay their mats in between the aisles of the cherry blossom trees. Yes, he's calling you too. Right. And it was all the aisle, the whole, the distance between the two rows of cherry blossom trees were all laid with picnic mats. And all of them were just, sitting there having family parties. And I got this picture of how God the Father actually offer shade to us when we need the shade, offer a place for us to enjoy. And this is God doing that to us. It says, God brings us to his banqueting hall, strengthening us with raisins, refreshing us with apples. And God says he will rejoice over us and he will serenade to us. God serenades to us. God is musical, by the way. God sings over us. The Bible tells us God rejoices over us. He brings us into his shade. He loves for us to sit under his shade and his shelter, and he sings over us. That's why we can go through this life, because God sings over us. You may not be aware, but God sings over us the whole time. This is God. Recently, I was recommended to watch this beautiful documentary of family life called Grace with the Millers. So if you Google, you actually see this family, seven of them, Pastor Stephen, who is the worship pastor at Mission City Church in Texas, and the wife, Amanda Miller. They have got three children of their own. And recently, they adopted four other children, two from Africa and two from China. And a lot of impress on them, the last two, they need to adopt two children who are special needs, only special needs, from China. And this really tells us the compassion. If a person can show such compassion, if a couple can show such compassion, I think, wow, God's compassion is overwhelming. And what Lincoln, the youngest boy who is a special need Chinese boy, need was actually a surgery. And Amanda and Pastor Stephen went to all the trouble. If you watch the documentary, you will know. Went through all the trouble to get his surgery done. But one of the things when I was watching Lincoln, and as I was also preparing Song of Songs chapter 2, was like, wow, you know, Lincoln's natural parents weren't able to provide for him. But here we are, we've got this two American couples, love God, love to hear from God, has got a huge heart. And they came with the love of God to love these kids with their whole hearts. And as I watch this show, and as I look at Song of Songs, I'm constantly reminded that we are also adopted children. Do you realize? We are actually adopted into God's family. That's why Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 says, in love, not in guilt, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't kind of like feel guilty not to adopt us. He kind of like adopted us, you know, just in case you don't feel good and, you know. No, in love, God predestined for us to be adopted to sonship through Jesus Christ. Wow. So it's, we gain adoption, we lose our blemish. Like you see Lincoln, if you see Lincoln on the documentary, he's a very happy boy. He gained adoption, he lose all his blemish as an abandoned child, as a sick child, he lose all that. We gain a glorious future. They've got a glorious future. I don't know how they share food, but they do. They do. They are so loving to each other, and they have got a glorious future, and they don't have to have a tainted past, all because they are adopted into the family who loves them. So for us, the same thing. Our past is gone. Our future is ahead of us. And the reason why we can do that is not a fair exchange. If our past is bad, our future should be bad. But no, God says, if you believe in me, then your past is gone. I'm going to bring you into the future. The future is new. The future is glorious. And the future will be ours to possess. Because in the eyes of the Roman law, if we are adopted into God's family, or in the eyes of the Roman law, if you're an adopted person, what is going to happen is that the new family will wipe out all the debts that are connected with you, all that is connected with the past, all wiped out. Then the new family will take you into their family and give you even their inheritance. That's adoption. That's in the Roman law. And Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about because he was living under Roman law. So in the spiritual realm, when we accept Jesus, when we are adopted into God's family, all our past are all wiped out. All our debts are all wiped out. And our future is new and glorious in the Lord. This is what we are talking about in terms of love sizzling. We are forever friends with God. I know this is really hard to accept. How can we be friends with God? If we tell this to the Muslims, they'll be shocked. You can never be friends with God. But God calls us friends. And he calls us forever friends because we are his covenantal people. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not demons, not angels, not life, not death, not depth, not height. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Wow, God's love sizzles. He is passionate to us. He comes to us running. He comes to us running. And not just this area of provision and adopting us into his family. He is very public about his love for us. That's why the beloved says, his banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. It is like a military general, very proud of his platoon or very proud of his regiment, putting the banner over his whole army and says, this is mine. So even though it's a very sweet and nice love song, it's actually a militant song. It's like, don't mess with me. I am the captain of the host. I'm the one who banners over this group of people whom I call the church. God says, I hold them all under my wing. They are all in my protection. They are all in my banner, and they are mine. I'm committed to them. I include them. And this is what God says in Zephaniah as well. It says, the Lord your God is with you. The mighty warrior who saves, he will take great delight in you. He's not a God of war that he's only preoccupied with war and won't care for us. He's the God of warring, and he's also the God who is able to love us. We are put under his banner of love. Wow. How do we not come running? That's why this morning I repented. I said, oh God, if I'm not awakened, oh God, if I'm not coming to you running, please forgive. And God just straight away come running, isn't it? Show us, or show me that picture of that cherry blossom tree that we can be awakened. God comes running to us. And we can run to him only because he first initiated his love towards us. Amen? Amen. This is God. But you know, love has a dual nature. Love is sizzling. At the same time, it is also very fragile. Love can sizzle. Love can also fizzle. As in, it can just zzz, and then goes off. Our love, especially human love, is very fragile. And there are times when you feel, oh, I'm so in love. I love my children. And then the next day when they play up, it's like, oh, no more love. Or if our husband is nice to us, it's like, whoa. Our wife is nice to us, it's like, wow, love is a many splendid thing, Shakespeare says. And then when they, you know, do certain things that will annoy us, it can just fizzle off, right? So love is intense. It can sizzle. And thank God, God's love towards us always sizzles. But you know, sometimes our love towards Him can fizzle off. It can lose its bubbliness. It can lose its strength, its intensity. It can fade and it can lose its fire. And that's why we come to God and ask God always to wake up our fire, to awake our love for Him. And so if you read verses 14 to 15, it says, "My dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Catch for us the foxes, the little ones that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom." Here we see that her relationship with God begin to grow cold and begin to grow distant. And one of the things that is very natural when we grow cold in our love, either towards people or towards God, is we tend to withdraw. We don't want to show face. We don't want to talk it out. We just want to fade into the background. And so here the beloved, because she realizes that her love has fizzled off, and she was trying to block the lover from coming into her presence. That's why the lover says, "I have got to stand behind our wall." If somebody got to stand behind your wall, it's not playing peekaboo, yeah? If you are the parent, of course, if you're playing peekaboo, you will always show your head, you know, to the child, and then you continue your fun again. But this man is hiding behind the wall. That means he's not given entrance into the room, right? That's what we do when we shut people out. They have to look through the wall. They got to gaze through the windows and they got to peer through the lattice. That means he's trying to get a glimpse of the beloved. Even though the beloved has rejected him, the lover came still, bounding over mountains and seas. We sang the song. So beautiful. So beautiful. The song is so beautiful. Oh, and this is a specially chosen song by Pastor. I think Pastor was one day, this is what I hear, right? Pastor was hearing it in his office. And you know, usually we like the song to, you know, soak. We want to be soaked in the song. And Pastor was doing that. And then Joanna was there. And then Joanna heard that song being played. It was a beautiful song. And Joanna says, "Why not make it public?" And then together they said, "Can I? All right, yes, why not?" And then finally the song got public, as in it got played by the music team. And then we enjoyed it as well. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. So the lover, God, have to go over mountains, go overseas, just to come to see the beloved. But here the beloved says, "No, I'm so sorry. My love has fizzled. There is a blockage in my communication. I just can't come and see you." And the lover had to stand behind the wall, gazing through the windows and peering through the lattice. God must be so heartbroken that when he comes running and we have our door bolted and our access blocked, God must be so grieved and so heartbroken. And sometimes we can come to that place. Sometimes we can come to the place where, you know, love just fizzles. I think it's a good question then to ask, how then do we allow God to awake our love? And the beloved in chapter 2 gave us the answer. I love the Song of Song 2, because it gave us the answer. If we happen to be fizzling in our love to God, towards God, what do we do? It's good to have the knowledge that God pursues after us, but if we are blocking God from pursuing us, what can we actually do so that our love can be awakened, so that our divine life can be nourished and can also flourish? The first thing is, we can avail ourselves to God. We can avail ourselves to God. Here the lover says, "Show me your face. Let me hear your voice." You see, usually people will withdraw. They might not come to church. They might not want to go to certain meetings. They might not want to see anybody. But here the lover says, show me your face. Let me hear your voice. So one of the things we can do is when we feel like we don't feel like doing things, you know, you feel like you don't feel like thinking, well, that's double feeling, a lot of feelings in there, is to say, no, I'm going to avail myself afresh. I'm going to make myself available. Because God loves to be with us. God loves our company, but God will not force His love on us. God will not hurry love, and God will wait for love to blossom and to respond. God will be patient, but we need to be the one doing the availing. God is always there, patient, waiting for us to come to Him, but we need to avail ourselves afresh to Him. That day when I was preparing this lesson, I was also looking at a cooking lesson. As in, you know, prepare doesn't mean sitting there. Prepare means, you know, you're thinking about it. And I was also watching a very nice 3-star Michelin chef documentary. This chef is from France. His name is Alain Passard. One of the things which Alain Passard showed me in that lobster video, I'm talking a lot about food, huh? Is that God is a gentle lover. God loves us so much, He comes running, not panting like rough, no. God is a gentle lover. When you see Alain Passard prepares his lobster, you will understand how a person can treat something so crusty so tenderly. You know, lobster is very crusty, very hard, huh? But really, Alain Passard would keep the flame just right so that the flame will not burn the lobster, but give the lobster a good goreng, a good roast. And it comes out, the lobster, translucent and pearly and very tender. In fact, he would look at the lobster, he takes it out and says, whoa, it's a beauty. He's not talking about his own cooking skills, of course. He's looking at the lobster and looking at the pearly, translucent flesh. And it's going to be crunching on your, really crunchy and beautiful. He takes it out and says, what a beauty. And the water that goes into cooking this lobster, he says, must be simmering. Simmers? Cannot be aggressive, cannot be violent. Huh? Violent, no. So he says, when you do that, when the lobster comes out, it's beautiful in the texture and it's beautiful in the appearance. So the commentator who was doing this with him looked at Alain Passard do this whole thing and he says, wow, he is like a painter. God, I'm not saying that he is a 3-star Michelin chef, but this chef reminds me of how God would treat it. If a Michelin star chef can treat the lobster so well, our God, when we are His masterpiece and His poem, He will treat us tenderly. He will not treat us with aggression. He will not treat us with force. He will treat us with love. And He wants love that is unforced, that is pure, that is willing, that is voluntary coming from us. That's why Perles Buck says this. He says, love cannot be forced. Love cannot be coaxed and teased. It comes out of heaven unasked and unsought. God willingly gives us His love. He gives it to us without asking. He treats us so tenderly, so well. He loves us. And the only reason if we find when we are sensing that things are fizzling in our life, that God is not there, it's not because God is not there. God is just patiently waiting for us to come back to Him. He will not push His way through. What He wants to do is He says, darling, show me your face. Beautiful one, let me hear your voice. So one of the things we can do when we find that our love is getting a little bit weak and fading is to say, oh God, let me show you my face and let me speak to you so that you can see me and love me back. Amen? It's the first thing we can do. The second thing is, sometimes when love fizzles, we will wonder, where do we belong and who do we belong? Do you sometimes feel this way? You know, whenever I quarrel with Henry, that's how sometimes I feel, like, where do I belong? Where do I go? When love fizzles out, you sometimes wonder, where do we belong and who do we belong? When love fizzles out, it's good to know that we belong to Him. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation." We belong to God. And that's why the beloved says in verse 16, he says, "My beloved is mine and I am his." This is what the beloved says. When love fizzles out, I know who I belong to. I belong to God. My beloved is mine and I am his. It's only when we know that we belong to God, then we are able to feel that we can belong to a community. Sometimes people, when they are not getting along with people, they leave God, they leave the people. But here, when love fizzles, the beloved says, "Ah, I know. I'm aware that I belong to God and God belongs to me and I still belong to the community. I still belong to the community." When we know that we belong to God, then only can we feel belong to the community. See, God provided the community. God provided the church. God provided for us families for us to belong. And it is only in those places, like a garden place that God creates, that we can feel belong, we can feel whole. We can love one another. We can be open to one another, be real to one another. And when we are able to have that contact point in the community or in the church where we can feel belong and where we can feel nurtured, and that's when, even when love fizzles, that it need not fizzle away. It need not die away. We can still be revived. I've been in the church for many years now. A long time, actually. 23 years. You know? And there are times when I come and my love is fizzling. And then I come in and, everybody comes around and asks after each other, and you get sizzling again, you know. Sometimes you find, love is a bit fading and time's getting harder, work is getting harder. You come in to the church and the Lord meet you in the worship service. You just feel like you are running to the Lord. It fills you up again. Your gas tank is filled again. And then you find, even though where love sizzles, fizzles, it can sizzle when we have got the mutual support. God provide a lot of contact point for us to come together so that we get filled up. So don't disconnect from contact points. The church is a good contact point. Your family is a good contact point. Your friends are good contact points. Your daily conversation with God is a good contact point. Your drive in your car is a good contact point. Don't disconnect from the contact points. Avail yourself to the Lord. Know that you belong to the Lord, so that when we go through difficult times, we know that our love can still blossom. And the last one, it says, is to catch the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. Now, this is a flower of the grape. And sometimes is when they come, you know, the foxes can come and attack the flowers and the fruits that, you know, the vines won't be able to grow. And so here he says, the beloved was told to catch the foxes. The foxes can come and ruin the vineyards. And we can be sabotaged by little foxes. You know, sometimes we want to be peaceful with people, but misunderstanding can rock the boat. Sometimes we want to love people, but people might reject our goodwill and our hospitality. A lot of things can come and ruin our life, our relationship. So here, the lover is told, or the beloved is told to be open to identify what is threatening our relationship with God. Be open to identify what is preventing us from being intimate with God. What is making it difficult for us to be vibrant in God? What's keeping us from running to Him? And it's to then confess it to the Lord and say, oh Lord, these are the things that are causing me to grow cold and distant from You. These are the things that is fizzling our relationship. God, I want to give them all to You. And when we constantly do that, yeah, God will, through His power and through our relationship with Him, be able to bring us to the place where we can enjoy the intimacy, as well as enjoy the abundant life that God tells us to. And here God invites us to arise. He says, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vineyards spread their fragrance. God invites us. Whatever situation we are in, God invites us into a sense of newness, into a season of vigor, into a time of freshness, into joy and into expectation. I pray that today that we will know that God's love sizzles for us and that we can have a sizzling relationship with Him, and by knowing that God loves us, and then when our love fizzles, that we will avail ourselves to Him. We will know that we belong to the Lord and that we will catch whatever that is preventing us from growing cold, come back to Him and ask God to give us that newness, that vigor, that freshness, that joy, and that expectation, so that we are able to experience His love again, so that we are able to come to God running. Amen. Amen. Let us pray.